Good day to you. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard by White Plains Hospital, and by Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk. Here on the Sports Report, we are joined by one of the upcoming inductees into the Class of 23 Hall of Fame, Westchester Sports Hall of Fame. The inductions are in November 15th at Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. Distinguished class of five inductees this year. They feature legendary Mount Vernon High School basketball coach Bob Cimino, also trailblazing women's basketball referee Margaret Muggsy Frena. Jim Turnbull, he is a lacrosse coaching icon. Maybe the greatest running back in high school football history in Westchester, from Harrison High, Sammy Maldonado, and right up there, one of the all-time great two-way linemen in Westchester from Hastings High School. And not sure if any other lineman out of Westchester can say this, at least maybe they're not in the Hall of Fame, but this young man will be. He won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady 3 years back. Allie Marpet from Hastings High School, two-way lineman at Hastings. Allie, congrats. First of all, welcome to Westchester Talk Radio Sports Report. And how does it feel to be going into what is basically your hometown Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a tremendous honor. That was a heck of an introduction, by the way. So kudos to you there. it's an absolute tremendous honor. I feel so grateful. I mean, when I was playing, I felt like I was sort of raising the flag or holding up the banner for Westchester and Hastings and D3 athletes as well. So there are a couple different groups I was happy to represent. So it feels I'm extremely honored to be recognized by the committee.
Were you born in Hastings?
Born and raised in Hastings. K through 12, that's a special place in my heart, you know.
And what year did you graduate Hastings High?
I graduated Hastings in 2011, and then I went to Hobart College in Geneva, New York, played D3 ball there, and graduated there in 2015.
Uh-huh. And then what round were you selected in by Tampa Bay in the draft?
Yeah, so this is very exciting for me. I like to brag a little bit about myself here, but I was drafted in the second round. I believe it was the 61st pick, but it still holds as the highest drafted Division III player in NFL history, as far as I understand. So until the next small school guy beats me out, I'm going to, again, hold on to that for a little bit.
I'm a firm believer in, and I've told high school players this, who think they got to get the rock every player. They have to be the star of every play. If you do what the coaches ask you to do, you may not stand out to the average fan in the stands, but the scouts who are there know the game. They know what you are supposed to do, and you'll get to where you want to go, regardless of if you're the guy named star of the game at the end of the game. I got to ask you this. Being a lineman, I asked a college lineman about a year ago, didn't you ever want to carry the ball or catch a pass or whatever? And he said, not really. And I said, why not? I said, because you're a lineman, unless there's a fumble or some kind of a trick play or something goes really wrong and the football's popping around in the air, you're never going to touch the ball. He said, it's okay. He said, it's still football.
Yeah. I mean, so I kind of disagree. I think that I would have loved the opportunity. But I think I gave up on that dream a long time ago. So it just didn't felt so far from reality. But I will say my college coach at one point did have a idea of a play of a throwback screen to the tackle. I'd have to be behind the quarterback, obviously, but like a roll out and throwback to the tackle. But that never ended up happening for me. It wasn't enough confidence, I guess, in my hands.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Did you ever hope for a fumble that you could jump in and grab?
I think I got a couple fumbles. I think I've also got a couple stats for some tackles. You know, that's always, you don't want to, but on interceptions and things like that, you have to show up and play defense. And so my defensive skill set showed up a couple times during interceptions and fumbles and whatnot.
Who was your high school coach at Hastings?
Coach Vaccaro, and he's our head coach, and he also worked with the offensive line. We had a couple of great coaches at the time, Steve Urich, Bob Rusak, Ezra Elliott, bunch of great coaches, and They all kind of coached me in different ways, either offense, defense, whatever, special teams. And Vaquero is actually going to be there at the ceremony representing for me, which again, I feel tremendously honored about. And he was, you know, he's a lineman at heart. So it's great having a head coach that has that framework. I think it's pretty encouraging. So, yeah.
And your unofficial coach was Otto, right? Bill Ottovich.
So my basketball coach. Yeah. So had Otto. I think I had him. I think it would have been 7th and 8th grade basketball at the time. And those were some of the most fun years playing with Otto. He made it so much fun. And honestly, I was more of a basketball guy. I wanted to play basketball year round.
You're built like a basketball player, right?
Yeah. So, it was actually my sophomore year at Hastings where I didn't play football. I played basketball all year round. And I had a great coach at the time who said, and this is advice I give to young athletes as well, play multiple sports, right? It'll make you better at those sports. And so I was convinced that football would make me a better basketball player. And I bought in and I ended up being a better football player, but that's beside the point.
Bill Ottovich, a Hastings legend, by the way, who of course will be at the Hall of Fame ceremony. He is every year. And you followed in his tradition and many others there at Hastings, a great athletic program. Who did you grow up rooting for? Jets, Giants, or somebody else?
I was a Giants fan growing up. So it was pretty cool. The first opportunity we got to play the Giants, play against Eli. I grew up watching a bunch of for me, the offensive line was like Chris Snead, David Deal, like a bunch of those guys. And, having those guys again, as analysts talk about me playing was pretty cool. And I got the opportunity to meet Sean O'Hara and those guys. So that was pretty cool for me as a former Giants fan,
How did it feel? How did you react when you were not drafted by the Giants? It was Tampa Bay instead. What goes through your mind? Because you're sitting in the room, obviously. Come on, Big Blue, Big Blue, Big Blue.
No, I think it actually ended up being, well, for the best, obviously. At the time, it would have been great. But actually, Tampa was a really great opportunity for me because I had siblings that were living down here. So it was almost like a second home. So if all the 32, I guess two of the 32 would have been, or three of the 32 would have been fantastic. Jets, Giants. And Tampa. And so fortunately it really worked out. Could have been Green Bay and had nobody there. And, that social support is so huge for young rookies going into the league.
I wonder too, when athletes grow up rooting for a team, regardless of sport, and they are picked by another team in the draft or somehow wind up on a team that they did not grow up rooting for. And like you said, you played the Giants the first time. What does it feel like when you finally meet that team that you grew up rooting for? It's great that you got to meet Eli Manning and everybody, but do you and you hear about how they up their performances against the team they rooted for growing up. Was that the way your Giants games mindset happened to be, that it's the team I grew up rooting for? I really got to show up here. Maybe show them they should have picked me.
So I'd say my first year, there was a little bit of that. And then after that, I kind of became a little, I don't want to say numb, but like a little disconnected to like the fan experience and rooting for teams, right? I was all in on, my career and the Bucs and making them being a great teammate there. So yeah, my first year, maybe I was a little awestruck, my rookie year. But at that point, no, it wasn't like, circle the calendar. I mean, I always knew that at the post game, after the game, like if we played up here in Jersey, that that I'd have a bunch of people to see after the game. So that was always nice.
We are joined here on the Sports Report, Westchester Talk Radio, by Allie Marpet. Allie Marpet, class of 23, will be inducted into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame November 15th of Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. Hastings High School two-way lineman legend and a Tampa Bay Buccaneers stalwart. Wound up winning the Super Bowl near the end of his career with Tom Brady. You were a rarity in the fact that you played your whole career with one team, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely not common. I feel like it's a lot of the dream for a lot of guys, so I feel very fortunate. Most careers, if you took the average career, right, you're 3 years and you're probably bouncing around two or three teams, P squad here, you get cut somewhere else and you're moving around. And so I was extremely fortunate to have a home base and that rock solid security that's so elusive for NFL players. So I feel very grateful for that. And that definitely helped my, confidence in the career and the way that I look back on my career.
You were an offensive guard with Tampa Bay. In high school, which positions did you play on both sides of the line?
Yeah, so I played offensive tackle and defensive end. And my junior year, actually the first game of the season, I wasn't even starting at offensive tackle, which would end up being my position. You know, so for those who aren't,
like Michael Jordan, he got cut by his high school basketball team, right?
I wouldn't compare myself to Michael Jordan, but I would just say for the young athletes that aren't starting even their junior year, you know, there's opportunity to improve and get better, and you know, bodies change, and you know, if you put in the work, it's possible that you know things aren't locked in. So that's another piece of advice I'd have for young athletes, probably.
One thing I tell kids who happen to be third string or maybe even just kind of on the team, be ready at all times. Pay attention to what's going on, because there might be a point in the game where you have a specific skill that's needed right then. The coach is going to call your number, and that's your opportunity to show what you have to maybe make the coach say, I got to play this guy or girl.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think that even as a backup or a third string guy, it's important to know your role and take the mental reps. So I think that's terrific advice. I will say for me, that was just the first game that I wasn't starting. I started after that, after I was rotating in and then got the start after. But yeah.
Like a coach once said to me growing up, why aren't you practicing hard? I said, well, you know, this game on Saturday, nobody wants to get hurt during the week. He said, how can I play you Saturday if you don't show me during the week that you know what to do? I said, yeah, but I mean, it's football. It's a tough sport. Chances are somebody might get hurt in practice. He said, you can get hurt stepping off the curb or walking around your house. He said, practice hard from here on out. That'll get you opportunities to play. He said, because I don't play guys who don't show me during the week that they know what to do when the weekend rolls around. He said, you prep during the week. We talk about what's going to happen on the weekend besides getting your skills better. And you got to show me, you know, what's up Saturday now, or you're not going to play. That simple. Is that the kind of tough love you got from coaches along the way?
Yeah, so I think that's terrific advice. So I don't know who your coach was, but you're fortunate to have those kind of people in your corner. I've had a lot of coaches along the way that have made a huge impact on me. I think there's a lot of things to be learned from football and playing sports. And right. I think I've heard a lot of interesting isms, like football isms. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of character to be revealed when you're doing hard things. You find out a lot about yourself. And I think that's important. And again, I had a lot of coaches that helped, guide me, because sometimes we don't want to do hard stuff, and that's understandable. Hard things are hard. But when you get to sort of see or have a goal in mind and work towards that and have a coach that can help encourage that, that can make all the difference. So there are a lot of youth coaches that make a huge impact on a lot of our lives. Like the one that you had, obviously, still resonates with you. And I don't know how long ago that was, but
it was a few years ago, back in the 60s. Yeah. When I was a kid.
So again, it shows to show you the impact that these coaches can have. And that's such a, useful and terrific, power to have.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you see the movie, The Blind Side? The Michael Glover story, yes, you did. Yes. How true was all of that about what goes on an NFL team, in a locker room, on the field?
Sure. I think The Blind Side movie, mostly dove into the upbringing and the college experience more so than the professional experience.
Yeah.
But the professional experience is definitely unique, and it kind of doesn't really matter what background you're from. Like there's you kind of awestruck, right? It's a lot for a 22-year-old to go through. There's so much pressure and so much thrown at you you kind of expect people to be able to handle it with like grace, or be able to like figure it out, or some people may think that they could put themselves in that position and feel like they could make the catch or do the thing, but it's difficult. And I think that there's some movies or some players that can communicate that effectively. But yeah, the truth is it's a lot to throw at young athletes. And
Mm-hmm. How about your early years in Tampa Bay? You had some pretty good teams. Your career moves along. I know you had some disappointments along the way. A season wraps up. Maybe you feel like you left something out there on the field as an individual, maybe as a team. What does that feel like when the season comes to an end? on that level, especially, and you don't reach the goal you set out that you've worked for all year since the last snap of the season before.
Yeah. And not only that is you feel like it's the work that you put in because it's cumulative work, right? So like it really feels like the work that you put in a lifetime, you know? So that's the gravity of how you feel after each season. And I would say that there's no worse feeling. I mean, you really have to get caught. It's difficult because you get caught at football's, you know, win-loss, like that's how you get measured. But it's really important, I think, and I didn't do a good enough job of this, but measuring yourself in the way of a process approach. Like, am I giving enough effort? Like, those are the things you have to hang your hat on. Because if you hang your hat on the wins and losses, there's so much out of your control and it's so defeating. Like, I know that, like, I felt like I was doing everything I could possibly do with the Bucs in some years and we still weren't that good. And it leads to burnout if you don't, you know, focus on that, you know, process.
And then you wake up one day and you hear Tom Brady is going to be your quarterback. What went through your mind when you heard that?
Well, now we got a chance. No.
And that's not to be disrespectful to anybody else.
Exactly.
Just it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, I was excited because, you know, when you see someone from afar, you're always curious about like what are their actual inner workings and like how do they carry themselves, how do they go about their business. And with Tom, it was kind of interesting. It was just cool to see, you know, the best of the best and how they go about their process and being able to witness all of that. So that was an exciting time for the Bucs and an exciting time for me.
Mm-hmm. What makes Tom Brady who and what he was, is, and who knows, maybe will be again if he wakes up one day and says, I want to play. I can't stand this retirement stuff, which yeah. I wouldn't put it past him if he did that.
Right. I mean, the truth, nothing surprises me from him. He really is like just a relentless competitor, right? So it doesn't matter. And I think what's unique about him is that he just pours himself into it as much as he possibly can. And so everything that he was from afar, I say like he is advertised, like he's that guy, you know, he really does pour himself into it and it makes a difference and it makes other guys buy in so much more. And he was such an asset for our locker room and for our mentality.
Is it really the avocados?
I don't think there's a
could be, right? He says that's what works and it works. So maybe for him, right?
Maybe for him. I would say that the attention to detail and is a big thing for him. And if it's the making sure he's eating avocados or whatever he's eating from a diet standpoint, attention to details. He's all in, he's doing 100%. So
how does he take care of his offensive line? You hear all these great stories through the years about quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, what they do with their offensive linemen. And I try to tell offensive linemen at different levels that I know through the years, you know, high school, college, et cetera, you know, be good, protect your quarterback. He'll take care of you.
Yeah. I think actually one, so obviously he was great with gifts, watches, things like that. That's a great way to go about it. Bribe us off. No, but, another great thing that he did was kind of instill confidence. So like there are games where it's like there's going to, you know, a tough matchup or something like that. He's like, hey, like I'm going to do this to put you in a good position. Like I'm not, for instance, we're not going to throw the ball 50 times where I'm dropping back a 7-step drop. Like I just don't want to do that. I don't want to make it too hard because it's hard enough, right? So just instilling confidence is a great thing to do as a quarterback. And he's able to do that by kind of having our back a little bit and making our job easier, which in turn make his job easier.
What was your diet like when you got to college and you got to the NFL? New York Times sports section had a great story about 5 years ago where one of their reporters followed the University of Michigan's offensive line, about 15, 16 guys in a college program like that, if not more, all lived in the same dorm together, all did the same things every day, all ate the same foods every day. It was amazing to see the kind of diet they stuck to. And just looking at you through the screen here, it looks like you've still stuck to that diet in retirement too.
Yeah, so I think that it's the diet piece is so important. Like there's two things that like I think are three things that make like really substantial change in like how you're going to perform as an athlete, right? So how you're sleeping, how you're training, and how you're fueling your body. And that like that fuel piece is so important. So like in order to, if you want to be the best player that you can be, you have to be so intentional about food. Like, it's like, it is so important. And because I've always had that intentionality, even when I stopped playing, it's not like the intentionality went away. It's like, all right, now I have a different goal, and I shift that goal, and I shift my intentionality to achieve that goal, which was losing weight. So I wanted to get down to weight that I felt more comfortable. I like where I'm at right now, so I'm not trying to lose any more weight. And now I'm at maintenance, and it feels really good. And I feel very fortunate that I've had the time and the luxury to be able to you know, navigate that.
How many times did you have to pass up somebody insisting you have an extra burger at a family barbecue, for example, right?
It's tough. It always defaults to like, I was a clean your plate crew, you know? So no matter what, just finishing it. And now I check in with myself. Am I actually hungry? Do I actually want those things? Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't.
Allie, have another Krispy Kreme. Come on, it's one more.
Why not? You know?
Right? So. Right? Yeah. Yeah. You work all these years. Little League football, Pop Warner, whatever it was back then that you went through, Hastings High School, through college, all those years in the NFL, and finally, I guess it was year number 7, you're a Super Bowl champion. The clock ticks down. It's getting near 0. You know you've won. What does that feel like? I heard Otis Anderson, I think it was, the one time Giants running back who was the great star back, you know, over 30 years ago, a couple of Super Bowl wins for them in the 86 season, 1990 season. And he talked about how guys in full uniform and full gear, full regalia, were rolling around on the locker room floor after they had won the Super Bowl. So you see grown men rolling around and their entire uniforms on the floor. That's what winning means.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It really is difficult to describe the sensation. But like, to sort of contextualize it, like I was saying earlier, you're pouring your entire life into this like one thing. And we're so mission focused on it, right? So like everything goes into it. Like I was just saying, the sleep, eating, like every meal is towards that goal, right? Like that breakfast that I ate 6 months ago, I was thinking about it to make me perform at the best level. And like you stack those over the course of your lifetime. So really what it feels like is like the most gratifying experience. Like, wow, all of that effort feels like it was for something, I guess, is kind of how it felt for me in that moment. That's kind of the best way to describe it. So yeah, that sort of gratification, I think, definitely makes you do weird things like roll on the floor.
Did you feel like, what do I do next now? What do I do for an encore? Like the Jets head coach, Robert Saleh, it's all about what now? You did what you did already now, and that's their mantra this year. What now?
Yeah, what can you do for me recently? So for me, at that point, once I had gotten there, it was a great perspective piece to talk about that process, right? Because then it became more about the process. Like, how can I enjoy this? So it's not just for this one goal, because there always will be another one. There's always another Super Bowl. There's always another thing. So for me personally, it was always about like, now it's a different perspective. It's more about how can I enjoy this workout, or how can I enjoy this meal, instead of like, oh, I'll be able to enjoy this once I get, you know, X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. You know, when you won, Tom Brady had the trophy up on the podium and he said, hey guys, we knew this would happen. Was that the way you felt throughout the season? And you could see your team coming together week by week by week, that by the time the playoffs rolled around, if you were a smart coach on another team or an observant player, like really watching the tape, you got to say, I don't want to play Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think that we definitely got lucky, like in the sense of health, right? So that those are things you can't always control. And like the best teams towards the end of the season are the healthiest. But for me, I think that we had confidence, but I kind of always had that confidence. I even when we were playing early on in my career and we weren't as successful as we wanted to be, I thought we were going to make the playoffs. Like I thought we were going to make the playoffs every year, you know? So
you have to think that going in, right? Otherwise,
yeah, Yeah, exactly. So, we knew this was going to happen, but I thought it was going to happen every other year too.
So you retired just a little bit before maybe you could have. Why?
Oh, so yeah, I could have continued to play at a high level. There's a host of reasons. Ultimately, I felt like if I really had a core value, which is my health, right? So I care strongly about that. If I wanted to live in line alignment with that, then it was important for me, I think, to take ownership of it. There are some things that I had when I was playing, like high blood pressure and sleep apnea, sleep with a mask. It just didn't feel like me, you know, like, so it's kind of hard as that juxtaposition that, that I was in as far as feeling authentic with my values. And then also and because of that, it felt like I would have been playing for, you know, other reasons. And I don't know, it didn't feel fair to myself or my teammates or to anyone else to be like 95% in, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who needs to be 110%. Right. So like, it didn't feel like I could have gotten it done, but at 90%, it just didn't feel like me. So.
Like the coach who told me, practice hard all the time, right? If you felt practice like you were going to give 100%.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a pretty mm-hmm. big realization for me.
What do you do now?
I'm in school. I'm in school to get a doctorate in psychology. So I just started. So I've got a 5-year process. So
what school time. Do you attend now?
It's the Florida School of Professional Psychology here in Tampa. And again, it's a 5-year degree to become a licensed clinician. And I hope to work with athletes potentially in some way or shape or form as a licensed clinician.
How about coaching in your future?
No,
it's not for everybody, right? It's not for everybody.
Yeah, coaching is a really difficult gig. Give them a lot of props and credit. So I don't think so. I thought about it quite a bit. I think it's a natural progression to make for a lot of players. But I don't think it was for me.
Allie Marpet, congratulations on your selection for the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame. You'll be inducted with 4 others, class of 2023, November 15th, Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. Look forward to seeing and meeting you then. All the best to you and your family. And thank you for joining us here on Westchester Sports Talk Radio, the sports report on westchestertalkradio.com. And again, congratulations on that Super Bowl victory, too, a couple of years after the fact, but finally got an opportunity to tell you that. Go Yellow Jackets, right?
Go Yellow Jackets.
There you go.
John, thank you.
Sorry, I never had the opportunity to work public address when you were playing at Hastings. I've had the opportunity for several years from time to time to have the chance to come over to Hastings and do that. Great program, great facility, and maybe one day you'll be over, back up in town, and we'll see each other at a game, rooting on the Yellow Jackets. When you work for a team, you're rooting for them too, so there's no question about that. Allie, congratulations again. We'll see you on November 15th here. Westchester Talk Radio. And we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built. Also by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth through a fiduciary standard. By White Plains Hospital and Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube. Download our app. It's called Westchester Talk. Take it with you 24/7. And yes, we are now on Apple Podcasts, too.